So this message that I'm going to bring today, it's one of those messages where I will start off negative. So if you're new to our church, don't start crying and walk out. So we're going to start off a little bit negative. And this is a sermon, so it means I'll be making some statements without qualification. And if you think, well, I disagree with that, well, that's okay. Come and talk to me afterwards. I'm happy to have a reasonable discussion with anybody. So I'll be making some statements that are a bit negative, but then we're going to finish on a positive note and we're going to be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So everybody ready to go? Come on. So Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks. But what I do want to start off by saying is our wonderful Australia. We love Australia, amen? Yeah, and it still is the best country in the world as far as I'm concerned. But our wonderful Aussie society has become highly fractured. And we are a divided society. And that's happened over recent years. And this division that you see all over the place in Australia, I think really, really sad, and it's not unique to us. Same thing's happening in the UK. Same thing's happening in France, Germany. Same thing's happening in the United States of America. Societies are becoming split down the middle. And what's really sad is that Aussies are not, we're not all singing from the same song sheet anymore. You can't presume that people agree with you. You can't presume that people think the same as you. And so we're divided. And if you don't think we're divided, then I dare you, I triple dare you to express your opinion on Facebook about any social issue of your choosing and watch how people respond to you. I've done this a couple of times and I will never do it again. It's not so much that people will disagree with you. In fact, there's nothing, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with the diversity of opinions. I actually believe that's a healthy thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it's more the manner in which people will disagree with you that I find quite disturbing. When I attempted to engage in what I thought was an intelligent way, in a discussion on a social issue, not one person addressed any of the points I made, not one. But I was called awful names by people on Facebook who I'd never even met. Then people were starting to check me out, check our church out. And people told me what they thought of me, and they'd never even met me. However, no, not one of them addressed the issues that I brought up. It was name-calling, it was vicious, it was using words that were completely inappropriate. And I was devastated. And the experience was so bad that I had to eat a lot of chocolate to recover. Nothing like a bit of chocolate, everything's, the world's a lot sweeter and better. It just seems to me that some people are just angry all the time. You know, just angry. Well, what is it? What is the problem? And you know this, because all you got to do is just cut in front of another driver on the road, and you will see for yourself just how angry some people can be. They flick you the finger, and I mean, seriously, you don't know me. And some people can move from zero to full-on anger in 2 seconds. You know, most of us, you know, you do it by degrees, don't you? No, not out there. They go from there to you. We're a mad and divided society. Also, for many, I'm speaking just in general terms, God is considered dead or irrelevant by many people in our country today. And so consequently, we're becoming more and more selfish and more angry. Company shareholders, in the greedy pursuit of increased profits, are part of the selfishness in our country today. I'll leave that one there. Minority groups who demand attention and thump the table, notice me, and demand that the whole of society adjusts their speech in case we offend their feelings, also contribute to that selfishness and division within society. But the truth is, we can all get caught up in being selfish ourselves, me included. We can all be demanding, me included. We point the finger like I've just did at those two groups, but we can be just the same as everybody else. Consequently, we've become a divided, angry, frightened, selfish, and socially unstable society that is, the signs are there, we are imploding from within. Drugs are rampant. Seriously, drugs are just everywhere. Everywhere. People don't feel safe in their homes anymore. Domestic violence has become an epidemic. And the black dog of depression hangs over so many people in Australia today. We are, and somebody's got to say this, we are a nation on the knife edge. Seriously, that's how we've become. And no matter what the experts, academics, politicians, and social commentators say or do, nothing seems to be able to halt our march towards even greater social unrest. And I've thought about what I'm about to say, and I mean this, and possible anarchy upon our streets. It's happening in France, happening in the US. Our social experts haven't got a clue about how to make life better for the average Aussie battlers out there on the street. Therefore, in view of this situation that I've just described, it raises the question, is there hope for Australia? In 2019, we're on the brink of a new year. Is there hope for our communities in which we live? I live in Gosnells, you live maybe somewhere else. Is there hope for our communities? And more importantly, is there hope for my family? Is there hope for your family, our grandkids? Is there hope for us as individuals? And thank God there is. And there is hope. We had that beautiful thing on the video, didn't we, just a moment ago? And hope is actually found in Christmas. Now more than ever, Australia needs Christmas. Our families need Christmas. We need Christmas, and I say thank God for Christmas. And when I say Christmas, I'm talking about the real Christmas story that somehow just got lost. I'm not talking about our cultural traditions of Santa Claus, Christmas trees, and roast turkeys, as nice as those things are. I'm talking about the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, because that's what Christmas is meant to be all about. So why Christmas? Why Christmas? What possible relevance does Christmas have for Australia, our divided country? What relevance does it have for the drug addict who's over at the train station right now? What relevance does Christmas have for the greedy shareholder? What relevance does it have for me or for an immigrant who's just come into Australia? Well, there's just two powerful aspects of Christmas that everyone in the world desperately needs to hear about. And these aspects, these powerful aspects of Christmas have the power to transform not only individual lives, but whole communities and even our nation. So are you ready for them? Number one. Firstly, Christmas is all about Jesus Christ, not Santa Claus. When the wise men found Jesus, the Bible says, and after entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And then they fell down and worshipped him. Then after opening their treasure chest, they presented to him gifts. They fell down and worshipped him. The wise men did not come to visit Mary and Joseph. Indeed, the shepherds, the angels, and the wise men focused their attention on Jesus Christ. They didn't come to see anybody else. They came for Jesus. Indeed, Jesus Christ is a central figure to the Christmas story. And I'll say it again, not Santa Claus. I'm about to burst with something I need to say. And I'm trying to be really measured. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm over Santa Claus. Now, if you got little children and that, you do what you got to do. We did the same thing. You know, have a happy Christmas, and all the traditions are important for our families. Amen. God bless you. But I've been watching Christmas movies for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And all I get is this guy in a red suit who doesn't exist, who supposedly lives at the North Pole. And he's got personal issues, most of them. They got issues. But the shows end up with saying, we need to believe in Santa. So, I'm over it. Here's something, I'll go even further. If I'm going to cause offense here, we might as well go. I've been also reading the scriptures about our Lord and Savior, the crucifixion. Remember Pilate? He says, choose who I will release to you. Do you people want Jesus or do you want Barabbas? Do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas? You know where I'm headed with this. Do you want Jesus or do you want to... And I probably said all the things I shouldn't have just said by saying that statement. But I'm just putting it out there. Don't have a lousy Christmas. Don't feel guilty if you go and sit on Santa's knee. If you want to do that, you go right ahead. But anyway, I probably shouldn't have said any of that. Thanks, Glenn. I love you too. Do you know when you get riled about stuff? Anyway, stick with the notes. The thing is, it was when Jesus did come. Remember the innkeeper? What a loser. You know, he had no room for Mary and an unborn child. Jesus, he had no room for Jesus. I mean, seriously? How dumb can you be and still breathe? Amen. You know, and so Jesus Christ ended up being born in a smelly, stinking stable. That's the best they could do for him. In an insignificant village south of Jerusalem. And that smelly stable is a picture of our own lives. We are the smelly stable. We're not that good without Jesus. We are the smelly stable. And some would say that our lives are full of manure, like the stable where Jesus is born. Who knows what I'm talking about? But the beauty of this picture is this. Is that Jesus does not wait for us to get our act together. He doesn't wait for us to get our lives to be perfect. No, Jesus comes right into our messy, stinking lives, no matter what is going on. And you might think you're the worst sinner in this place, but Jesus wants to become part of your life and bless you. But the thing is, these wise men, they could only find Jesus because of the star. Remember the star? And so they followed the star from wherever they came from, and it led them right to the place where baby Jesus was. And that star stopped over Jesus and shined into the place where he was staying. You could say that Jesus brought light into Bethlehem. Indeed, Jesus brings light into our smelly, messy, manure-filled lives. Isn't that true? The Bible says about Jesus at the first Christmas, it says this, Jesus, who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus said of himself later on, he says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus also had another name. He was called Emmanuel. We looked at that a little bit earlier, which means... So when you have Jesus, you have God in your life, for they are one and the same. So where God is, there is light. Where Jesus is, there is light. However, point I want to make, When you remove God and when you dismiss the place of Jesus in your life, then you also remove the light out of your life and things become dark for you. When you remove God and when you dismiss the place of Jesus in a modern society like Australia, then you also remove the light and things become dark across the land, and that's what we're seeing today. As a nation and as families that we represent, we become divided, we become selfish, we become even angry, we become depressed, we hurt other people when we remove the light of Jesus Christ. Australia today is like the innkeeper who had no room for Jesus. And there is no room for Jesus Christ any longer. I'm speaking generally and not talking about people such as yourselves. But there's no room for Jesus Christ any longer in our nation. Santa Claus, sorry to bring him up again. If you're making money out of being Santa Claus, I'm really sorry about this message this morning. I mean, but Santa Claus gets a bigger mention at Christmas than Jesus Christ. It's actually absurd and illogical. You know, our country has removed God and everything that God stands for. No one follows His commandments. No one respects Him. Many people feel awkward when you talk about Jesus. There's no room for Him. And so, what's happened? Australia's become dark. Spiritually dark. And now we're fractured. Everybody's got an opinion. We're divided. And seriously, the future for Australia is really uncertain. When the politicians say they're going to make life better for you next year, if you believe them, keep following Santa Claus. I mean, if you believe that, you'll believe anything. The one and only solution to the plethora. Do you like that word? Amen. It's been a long time to get that word. Anyway, the plethora. The one and only solution to the plethora of social problems within our nations and families is for us to turn back to Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And we're going to make Him the focus of our lives. And when He's the focus of our lives, we have the light to dispel the darkness. I say this, this is not in notes. When you make Jesus the focus of your lives, you walk under the grace of God. Amen. The light is the grace of God. I remember a good friend. I'll tell you what his name is. He's a really good friend. He won't mind this story. It's Alan Pipes. And he is a good friend. He's in contact with Rochelle and I. But many years ago, remember when he first became a Christian, Rochelle? Probably 30-odd years ago now, when we were so much younger. Alan became a Christian. He didn't know anything about Jesus, didn't know anything about church at all. He just got born again. He fell in love with Jesus, and he was so on fire for Jesus. Today, he's a chaplain in the Australian Armed Forces, and he's just been promoted to major. And he's just come back from his tour of Iraq and got his medals, and which is just amazing. Just amazing. But in those early days, one day we were in the church. I actually remember where we were. We're just walking along and just chatting. And then out of the blue, because we're talking about Jesus, Rochelle spun around, looked Alan in the face. She probably waved her finger. And she said this to him, "Now, Alan, that you are a Christian and you're following Jesus, you've got to stop sleeping around." Just out of the blue, she came with it. And, you know, I like to water things down. Who knows that Rochelle shoots from the hip? She's not like me. If you want the truth about something, just go to Rochelle. She'll tell you. She still loves you, by the way, but she doesn't mess around. And Alan just stopped. I thought, oh, here we go. I've got to clean up the mess of this one. And he just stopped. He looked at Rochelle, and he knew Rochelle loved him. But he paused, and then a smile broke out on his face, and with one word he says, "Okay, okay." Today, after all these years, Alan Pipes is married, happily married to a beautiful woman, a godly woman, and they've got four wonderful children. He could have put all of that at risk if he'd said to Rochelle, "No, I'll live the way I want to live." When Jesus is the focus of your life, it's not talking about some eerie, feely thing. When Jesus is a focus of your life, you follow him and his instructions, and then God puts his grace and blessing upon you. So get out of the dark and get into the lights. Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, it's not my place to control what others decide about Jesus Christ. I have no power to do that. And I honestly don't know what the future is for Australia, certainly in the short term. It's very uncertain. But this one thing I do know. As for me, I refuse to live in the dark. I refuse to live in the dark. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, he's welcoming my life, my family. Real Life Church, what about you? What about you? And I urge you to make room for Jesus Christ today. Make room for Jesus Christ in your life and your family. Because you need the light of God's presence to shine upon you in these dark days. Don't be like the foolish innkeeper who had no room for Jesus. Don't be like him. We need Jesus in our smelly stables. And there is no other solution to the spiritual darkness that is creeping across our land today. So I urge you to make a readjustment. Surrender your life. Surrender your life. Surrender your pride. Get over yourself. Surrender your life and your will to Jesus. And his light of favor and his light of blessing will shine upon you. Amen. So firstly, Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. That was point number one. Point number two, and it'll be a little bit quicker, is secondly, Christmas is all about love. It's about love. John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that he, gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. God loved the world so much. And when you think about it, Christmas really only ever happened because God loves people. God loves people. No idea why, but God loves people. Divine love is the motivation behind Christmas. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, stepped into our dark, smelly world at Bethlehem. He grew, and then he taught us how to live life successfully. Then he died for our sins. And then he rose again from the dead so we could be right with God and he gave us eternal life. He then ascended into heaven, and all of that happened because God loves people. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is his love. Australia needs love today. It doesn't need criticism, it needs love. Our community needs lots of love. Gosnells really needs lots of love. Our families need love. You know what your family needs this Christmas? It's not another argument. They need love. They need love. You need love. I need love. And when you think about it, really, we're really starved of love. We're severely starved of love in Australia. And there's just way too much anger. There's too much dysfunction, hatred and selfishness and pain. We're starved of love. There's a drought going on in the land. It's a drought of love. We need more love, because divine love, love, real love, God's love is what we need to break hatred in our land, to break the power of anger in our land. Love breaks prejudice in our land. Love is what we need to see broken families healed, and love is what we need to have peace restored across our families, communities, and our land. Love is the antidote for the pain of the heart. Love heals a broken heart. The Bible says, may you have the power to understand how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is God's love for you. God's dominant personality trait is love. For the Bible says, God is love. And Christmas is an expression of God's amazing love. Someone once wrote an extra verse to the carol Silent Night, and it says this: wonderful love, come into me from heaven above, filling me, thrilling me through and through, making me ready thy service to do. Oh, it is wonderful love. Oh, it is wonderful love. The Bible implores us to experience the love of God. Experience the love of Jesus Christ for you today. If God was mean, then there would be no love to experience. If God was disinterested about us, then there would be no love to experience. But God is love, and you can experience God's love today and tomorrow and every day. Experience love. Real love. Wonderful love. So, Christmas reminds us to put Jesus at the center of our lives so his light can dispel the darkness. And Christmas reminds us that God loves you and me. The light and the love of Jesus is what we desperately need and what our nation needs today. Only Jesus Christ is the solution to the darkness in people's hearts. Finally, can we all say finally together? In conclusion, I have a final thought, a quick thought. I suggest that all of us, just a suggestion, I'm putting it out there, that we all go counterculture to the current climate of division and anger in our country. Let's be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And let's do that by sharing some love around. Come on, let's share a little bit of love this Christmas time. Share a bit of love. And love is more than a word. It's actually, love's a verb, isn't it? A doing word. It requires actions. Here we go. Let's not be angry. Somebody cuts you off on the road, don't flick them the finger. You're a Christian. You know, that. Seriously, just smile. Merry Christmas! I don't care how you feel on the inside. Fake it till you make it. Amen. Your emotions will catch up later. Here's another one. Don't be nasty to people. Let's not be nasty. Even people that their lifestyle, you might not like the way they're dressed. You might not like what they do with their hair. You might not like what body piercings they've got. You might not like anything about them. Who cares? You love that person anyway. Seriously, let's love people. Let's share the love around. Let's not get mad with people. Let's not judge people. Jesus says he didn't come into the world to judge people. He came into the world to save people. Let's not react to people who get upset with us. Let's just stay calm and respond with Merry Christmas. Finally, let's get over ourselves and let's just freely give love away. For Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. So Christmas is about Jesus and about the love of God for broken, flawed people like you and me. Australia needs Jesus and Aussies need loving. And that's really all I've got to say. I'm done. But I just want to ask one question. Because I don't know everybody here today. And here's the question. Have you invited Jesus Christ into your life like I've been talking about today? And like you know about? Have you invited Jesus Christ into your life? Have you invited him into your smelly, messy life that we all have? And I urge you to get out of the dark by letting Jesus Christ bring his light and his love into your heart today. Can we just pray right now? Let's just pray. And we pray. A tradition of prayer is where we bow our heads. It's nothing more than a tradition. And we close our eyes. And that just stops us from being distracted by anybody around us. Let's just capture a holy moment right now. And if you're saying in your heart that you are prepared to invite Jesus into your life, then I would like to pray for you. We do this often in church. But would you respond in some way? Do an action. And probably the simplest action is stay in your seat. But just give me a wave of your hand so I know who to pray for. And if you're saying, yeah, I want to invite Jesus Christ into my dark life today. I want to invite his love and his light. Would you say a prayer for me, Pastor? Absolutely.
with every head bowed, every eye closed, can I pray for you? Just give me a wave of your hands and we're going to sing our final song. God bless you. Anybody else today? Just put your hand right up in the air so I can say, God bless you, thank you. Anybody else? Takes a bit of courage, doesn't it? But it's the best decision that you could ever make this Christmas time. Can I pray for you? Put it right up so I can see it. Wave and then put your hand back down. Praise God. I'm just lingering. 10 seconds more. Can I pray for you? Okay, everybody, could you put your hand upon your heart? Everybody, including those who have just put their hands up. And could you repeat this prayer after me? A very simple prayer. But here we go. Almighty God, I realize that my heart has dark things in it. I realize that I have sinned against God. But Almighty God, I thank you for sending Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. And so today, I repent and open my heart up to Jesus Christ and to his love and light. I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart right now and make me a Christian. Amen and amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for people who just prayed that sort of prayer for the first time, especially those who have just raised their hands. We just pray that their Christmas will be an amazing Christmas. We pray their life will be an amazing life. We pray from this point forward, Lord, that they will grow and learn more about Jesus Christ and that they will become the people that you've destined them to be. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Amen.